This is Bobby Cassidy of Newsday.com, and I'm joined once again in our regular Act 2 Sneak Peek podcast by Act 2 editor Noel Rubinson. Noel, this week's cover story deals with people age 50 or older living with HIV and AIDS. Coming up in the podcast, we'll be speaking to writer Bettina Marks, who wrote the story, but tell us a little bit about the story itself.
Well, this is actually a hopeful story about AIDS, and not very long ago that would have seemed impossible. But it's really a sign of the progress in terms of treating the disease with drugs and other ways that more and more people are able to live longer and longer with disease. And as a result, a number of people are living into their 50s and 60s and even beyond that. And in the story, Bettina really gets behind this story and talks to a number of those people, and you hear about their determination and about how they've gotten as far as they have.
Okay, sounds like an interesting story. What else do you have in store for us in the issue this week?
A good story by Saul Friedman. His column this week is yet another in his series about Medicare Part D and how it's distorting the medical and pharmaceutical industry. This time he's keying in on the plight of small pharmacy owners and how the small pharmacists are really being creamed by Part D because all the marbles are going to the big pharmacy chains in their interactions with the drug companies through this massive drug plant. And he's writing about really the danger that we're running into, that these small pharmacies are going to be run out of business, and a lot of customers, particularly in parts of the country outside of New York where things are more rural, customers are really going to be endangered, that they're going to have fewer choices for pharmacies.
Okay, sounds good. And Noel, I know there was something else on your mind this week that you wanted to talk about. Let's hear it.
Well, it's Bruce Springsteen, which doesn't exactly sound like an Act 2 story, but I saw him play in New Jersey last weekend, and let me tell you, it was an amazing show, but also an amazing Act 2 story, in the sense that you see in him and his band that older people have plenty of fresh ideas and incredible energy and innovation. And to see the way he turned music on its head and did New Orleans jazz and all sorts of different things with songs from the playlist of in a songbook of Pete Seeger was really something. Pete Seeger himself is 87 years old now and going strong, and Bruce Springsteen, in effect, has reinvented him and brought his music to yet another generation, and it was just a wonderful thing to see.
Okay, that sounds very exciting. And coming up for your listening pleasure, we have a cut from Bruce's latest album, and you'll be hearing the song Jacob's Ladder.
We are climbing Jacob's Ladder. We are climbing.
Jacob's Ladder, performed by Bruce Springsteen. Noel, I want to thank you for joining us, and coming up next, we have an interview with Bettina Marks.
We're joined right now on the telephone by Bettina Marks, who wrote this week's cover story on people over 50 who are living with HIV and AIDS. Hi, Bettina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What actually drew you to this story? What made you interested in telling this story?
Well, I think there are a lot of issues of over 50 and health issues specifically that I've been wanting to tell in the time that I've been working for Newsday. And what this particular, with some changes that have occurred in terms of treatments for the illness and also the advent of new medicines, there have been more people who are in this age bracket who are living with this disease than ever before. And the introduction of Viagra and the fact that there are just more people alive, which was not expected at one time when originally AIDS hit years ago. There just wasn't that kind of prognosis.
Right, right. So obviously the trend would then be more people living with the disease longer. And how are they living? I mean, what did you find when you spoke to them? I mean, were they inspirational? Were they seeing this as, you know, not a burden or not a problem or a second lease on life? What did you find in speaking to some of these people?
Well, it was mixed. I think that for the most part, all of them feel burdened by it. That's definitely a case. Some who are handling the burden differently in terms of their outlook. There are physical problems that affect some of them daily that they never can forget, and so therefore they're reminded all the time that they have a problem and they don't feel well and they have to take medication. Especially when you're taking medication, you're aware that something's wrong with you, and so that kind of already affects you mentally. But physically, some are doing better than others. Lessie, who was also, I might add that it was very hard to come by telling the stories because it was hard at first to get a lot of people to speak to me and reveal their identities. But when I finally did get around, especially Lessie, who's written a couple of books, she was able to, she has a positive spin on everything, and that she found in a way that there was a reason why this all happened to her, and that she's been able to survive through a spiritual kind of awakening, as well as changes in her diet and exercise, and giving her, it's not a new lease on life by any means, but that there was a reason, so to speak. And in her case, she's not all that ill as she had once been because of the effect of the medication that's really helped her. A couple of the other people that I interviewed may have, you know, are experiencing more difficulty on a daily basis. And Barry Stewart, he has, you know, a lot of physical ailments and had actually walked in the AIDS walk and was extremely tired after that in early June. And in general, his health is, you know, he's had other age-related ailments that have impaired him, in additionally to the HIV, and he also has some mental fear. And then we have Terry, and she seems like somebody who is, you know, she won't let it bother her. She'll wake up in the morning, she can feel the neuropathy in her toes, but she's just going to combat it, and she just doesn't dwell on it, and she says, okay, just get up and forget it and go on. But they're all, you know, and they're all, you know, Antonio was very inspirational. I mean, he's overcoming his dad's alcohol. His dad was an alcoholic, but living in that kind of a family and having that susceptibility to the same addictions. He's been sober and in 12-step programs, which has given him just, you know, a whole attitudinal shift and an ability to live with this recent diagnosis. But he is also, in fact, I spoke to him just before last weekend and just touched base, and he was sick but keeps a lot of his faith alive, which he attributes to him being able to sustain whatever the actual effects of the illness are. I think I've got everybody. I hope I didn't leave anyone else. Let's see. But in general, you know, nothing's pretty about it, but there's just an amazing strength. I think it was Peter DiCicco I left out, and he has a lot of also ancillary health conditions that complicate his being 55, that make it more difficult with different medications and keeping them all on track, and back pain and occasionally a wheelchair. But his mental attitude is very strong and robust, and also I found them all to be incredibly inspirational, incredibly full of, combining the fear but with hope, and in that, you know, an acknowledgement of life, and it's been a wonderful experience for me. It's been, I left out the two that are anonymous, but I'm not allowed to say their names.
Okay.
And those older women who were very amazingly, also one of whom was, you would never know their age, they were both in their 70s, They looked remarkably well, and they were, you wouldn't know that they had anything wrong with them, basically, seriously. And although they, you know, they had lost weight, one of them, and had felt, you know, had been sick with pneumonia. The eldest, who was 78, basically had a very positive attitude, but had other conditions like rheumatism and Parkinson's, but had a very healthy appetite despite the medication. So in varying degrees, there have been, each of them have symptoms, but it's not easy, I would say it that way. It's not easy for any of them.
Right. Each one of them sounds like a compelling story in their own right, so to speak.
Say that again, I'm sorry?
I said each one of them sounds like a compelling story as an individual.
Yeah, each of them, I definitely had, the story had to be edited a lot because there was much more than I was going to be able to have printed that I was able to sort of, you know, put into words. And yes, each of them left me individually with something special, and I find myself even just, you know, repeating some of the little slogans that they themselves will say on a daily basis to just, you know, keep them positive. And one of the things that Antonio did say is, you know, when you have to suffer, it makes you stronger, which is, you know, it happens that way. And oftentimes people don't understand, when you don't walk in someone else's shoes, how it really can be experienced. But I was hoping to try to get some of that across in the story, and their actual emotions and feelings, and hopefully I did. I hope so.
Well, it sounds like you did a fine job with that. I mean, each one of them, as a whole or as a unit, like I said, it just sounds very, very interesting, and just to read about the struggles they go through. Let me ask you one more question, Bettina. What is the continued medical prognosis of these people? I mean, or I should say, I guess, medical diagnosis. Are they going to continue to, you know, live longer? And, you know, we hear all these things about drug cocktails and different ways to measure the virus in their system. Some live with it undetectable. Are things getting better from a medical standpoint? Or is there much more work to be done in fighting this disease?
I think that things are definitely getting better, and I was extremely lucky to have extensive conversations with Dr. McGowan at North Shore University Hospital, who is, and also his associate there, who's, she's not from the medical end of it, but the social worker there. He is just remarkable in terms of his, he was incredibly communicative. He feels that, you know, basically with proper treatment, that people who are over 50 who are living with the disease should have a good prognosis and expectation to live out their full life expectancy into their 70s and 80s. The one little loophole there, and I think it's because they're really, in terms of the immune system, and this is something that I'm fascinated with and want to go further in terms of more stories about health, but that's not my area. But the immune system is very delicate, and it's not totally understood from what I gleaned from speaking to him. So because an aged person, their T cells can be compromised, the warning from the medical community is to really have screenings and routine screenings, and that advanced stages of the disease, if they present to the doctors at an advanced stage of the disease, they have a less of a optimistic prognosis because then it's going to be harder to treat. It's, I guess, analogous to cancer situations, you know, where if in whatever stage is presented in, the medical community can only do so much. But if caught, you know, at a place where it's not very advanced, which again, because of the complications with age-related illnesses that may masquerade symptoms, that's where the issue really is in the over 50 demographic, because something that could be mistaken as loss of memory could be the dementia from that's evident as a symptom of HIV. It could be thought of as just like maybe Alzheimer's, or, you know, age-related memory disorders, and depression or weight loss, you know, could be, you could go to the doctor for something different. So that those things are important to be aware of. But in terms of the treatment of other illnesses with other medications in coordination with the medications for HIV, his conclusive study and is that the other medications aren't going to take away from the effect of the HIV medication.
Okay, that's
so basically that sort of sets it clear, I think.
Okay. Well, Bettina, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast this week, and all our readers will, I'm sure, look forward to seeing your article in Saturday's paper.
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me on.